Ever felt useless? Ever felt like there was nothing for you? Charlotte Elliott was an invalid from much of her youth, and her brother, a preacher, was doing a special concert to raise money for a home. And she was looking at the opportunity and realized there's nothing that I can do. I'm basically confined to my bed. I'm of no use. Out of that experience, God touched her in such an incredible way that she wrote the hymn of the evening, "Just As I Am." See, one of the things that we deal with frequently in our day is that people figure, I'll get myself in order, and then I'll come to Jesus. I'll clean up my act, and however you want to define cleaning up my act, doesn't matter, but I'll come to Jesus when I get everything straightened out, when all of my affairs are in order, and I have life under control. And Charlotte realized that that was never, ever going to happen, and that it didn't have to happen, because the essence of the gospel is that Jesus' invitation is to come just as you are. Just as I am. And so she penned the verses, and we've sung it. We'll sing it again at the end. But notice as you go through it the depth of her recognition of her inability without one plea. And then, "But that thy blood was shed for me." Confession that in myself I have nothing. In my ability I have no hope. But in Christ there's all I need. The text for the night is John 1:39. That's the key verse that I want to look at. Jesus, he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, here's the summary. What are you seeking? Come see the Lamb of God, Messiah. If you back up, you know that John had said, when he had seen Jesus walking, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And that's John 1, verse 36. And so the two disciples of John had gone to Jesus. They had heard John say this, and so they had gone to Jesus, and Jesus saw them coming, and he said to them, "What are you seeking? What are you seeking?" Now, interesting, at least to me, that in that moment, Jesus meets them where they're at. Jesus confronts them just as they are, and he says the honest question, "What do you want? What are you seeking?" Now, what they were seeking was Messiah. What they were seeking was love, was life. What they were seeking was, "Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe." What they were seeking was a transformation of their self-understanding and of their life. What they were seeking was the fullness of all that God had promised to those who love him and to those who seek him. The issue was, Charlotte knew that she was in deep trouble, that she had nothing to give. Our problem is, Romans 3, beginning at the second half of verse 9 through 11, "For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God." The essence of our struggle is the recognition of our inherent incapacity. The beginning step of what we're seeking is the recognition that I can't do it myself. I cannot heal, I cannot stand, I cannot walk, I cannot contribute. And the grace and the good news of the gospel is, in spite of all of that incapacity, Jesus says, "Come, and I will do all of the things that are necessary for you to be effective in serving me." Luke chapter 10, verse, chapter 18, verse 18, the ruler said to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The end game. How do I finish well? How do I accomplish the ultimate end of my life? And the question is very simple. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, each of these is a progression in understanding what it means to come to Jesus. The recognition of our inability. I actually like the way the Heidelberg Catechism breaks up the understanding of the faith, because the first section of the Heidelberg Catechism is called Misery. Misery. Why? Because we are alienated from life because of sin. In our natural state, we are in open, hostile rebellion against God. That's the natural state of humanity. Romans 3 said there's no one righteous. No one righteous. Instead, we hate God. And because of that, we're in a state of alienation from life and hope and peace. We're in a state of misery because at the very core, the center of our being, we're at war with what God had created us. But if we desire life, if we desire that eternal life, then God has made a way, and it is in coming to Jesus. And Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, says, "You must be born anew." It's simply starting over. It's simply letting go of the old, of what was, and embracing what can be, what is the new. Jesus will go on to explain that in much more detail, but it is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, in Luke 23, 42 and 43, he said, Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Who's he? The criminal who was crucified with Jesus. One criminal railed at Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and save us too." And the other one said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Is there anything that he could do to make himself more pleasing and more acceptable to God? No. He was on a cross. He was being justly crucified for what he had done. He was receiving justice in that moment. And there's no way that there was anything in his life that he could have done. But he says, Jesus, remember me just as I am, without a plea. And Jesus said to him, verse 43, truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Deuteronomy 4:29 asks this question, says this, that if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Now, interesting thing tonight. Why are we here? Why did you come out on a night like this? And I hope the answer is because the heart's desire is simply to seek God. Because my desire is simply to seek the Lord. And in this place, at this time, in this moment, He's promised to meet His people. Just as I am. What are you seeking? Jesus' answer is, come and see. Jesus doesn't launch into an explanation of anything. Jesus doesn't give him Old Testament scriptures. Jesus doesn't lecture him about the things that he's doing. Jesus just says to the two of them, what? Come with me. Come and see. Just observe what's happening. And Charlotte writes, just as I am and waiting still to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. To the one who can, to the one who is able, I come, just as I am. In Luke 7, the other disciples of John had come to Jesus, and they asked him the question, you know I love this text. They said to him, are you the Messiah? Are you the Lamb of God? And Jesus answered them, verse 22 of Luke 7, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus' proof of who he is and what he has come to do is demonstrated in the way he leads his life. It's laid out there in very simple but profound clarity. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and blessed are those who are not offended by me. Jesus' life is the greatest argument, the greatest demonstration, the greatest proof of who he is. And he says to those who were inquiring, come and see, check it out. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Here's the great challenge for us. It's not the strength of our profession of faith. It is the demonstration of that faith every day that is the validation. And it's simply judging who we are by how we live our life. Now, again, that's why Satan has used the whole issue of hypocrisy to challenge the church. Because we say one thing and we do something else. But the only standard that the Scripture has for us to judge where we are is the fruit that our lives produce. A good tree produces good fruit, and an evil tree produces evil fruit. What sort of tree is your life? Just as I am, because this is the Lamb of God, the Messiah. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find. All I need. Think about that for a moment. People can have whole lists of things they need. You know, we're a consumer-driven culture. There are millions of things that you never knew you needed until the advertisers demonstrated it to you. But Charlotte says, all I need in thee to find. Why? Because Jesus is the culmination. Jesus is the completion. Jesus is the means by which we inherit eternal life. Mark 14:61-62. But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? When the high priest asked him, are you the Christ? He's not asking him if that was his last name. He's asking him, are you the one who has been promised from the beginning of our relationship with God? Are you the one who is the anointed of the Almighty, who is sent to save his people? And so it's a term of jargon, if you will. It's a term loaded with history. But every Jew in that time understood exactly what he was saying. Are you God's anointed salvation for his people? Are you the fulfillment of God's promise to all of those who seek him? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who does for us what we are incapable of doing for ourselves. The magnificent gift of grace. All I need in thee to find. The Lamb of God. And he said, it is finished. I liked this slide. Why? When did Jesus say, it is finished? On the cross. But what's this a picture of? Empty tomb, empty tomb. The cross was the first step in the completion of his ministry. This is the great culmination, because our hope and our salvation does not rest in the crucifixion. It rests in the resurrection, because God took what was dead and brought it to new life. And he offers that new life to us. Just as we are. And so, for me, the resurrection, the culmination of his work, is in the victory of life over death and alienation and separation. So we have that great promise of God. Revelation chapter 5. What an awesome text. Chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation. Spend some time there. It says, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered." Has conquered. And therein is our hope. It's interesting that for a lot of people in our age, "just as I am," without one plea, is tied to Billy Graham, George Beverly Shea, because that's how Reverend Graham, Dr. Graham, ended each of the Crusades, with the invitation to come and see Jesus. And George Beverly Shea was his music director and soloist and vocalist, and through all of the Crusades, "Just As I Am" was the closing hymn of that. And literally millions of people worldwide heard the invitation to come and see the Lamb of God. And they heard it in the context of "just as I am, without one plea." What an awesome invitation that God has to humanity, to come and see the Lamb of God just as you are. Amen.